International Baptist College is a dynamic ministry of Tri-City Baptist Church in Chandler. IBC offers 3 Bachelor of Arts degrees and 4 graduate degrees. The professors at IBC desire to teach students how to think, live, and lead from a conservative biblical worldview. Whether you are pursuing a degree or laying a biblical foundation for your life, IBC will mentor you into ministry. Please check out our website at ibconline.edu or call 1-800-IBC-4858 for more information. What is your plan for the next 5 or 10 years? What is your plan for the next 20 years or 30 years? What is your plan? Planning is pleasing to God. In fact, I would say not having a plan, at least for life, maybe not for vacation, is displeasing to God in most cases.
I'm Celeste Montague. Welcome to Dare to Stand, a radio ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona, featuring the teaching of Senior Pastor Dr. Kevin Shaw. Dare to Stand is on the radio to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who will listen, to carefully teach the truth of God's Word, and to encourage a healthy lifestyle of worshiping and honoring God. For more details about Dare to Stand or the ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church, please visit www.daretostand.org or call the church at 623-581-3115. You can receive a free MP3 copy of today's message or the entire series in MP3 format for a small fee by contacting the church. Thanks for joining us as we continue our study in the book of Acts and the journey of the disciples of Jesus and their transition from disciples to apostles during the days of the early church. Paul, the apostle, was preaching Christ and traveling around a lot in those days, which required planning and logistics. Every day we have a plan about how our day is supposed to go, but sometimes God changes our plans. Let's listen as Dr. Shaw reads to us from Acts chapter 16, and we hear about how God interrupted Paul's plans in a message titled, When God Changes Your Plans.
Open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, beginning of verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Or we know him as Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took him and circumcised him, because the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go and preach the word in Asia, they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia. I'll explain this, so don't worry. You got all these names. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over to Macedonia and help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. You have promised that you will do so, so we ask based upon that promise. Lord, I pray that you will touch our hearts. Lord, help us to put in perspective things that we experience every day. And we'll glorify your name for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There might be some of you in this room old enough to remember late 1970s, early 1980s TV show. It was one of those during that time frame that was, I think, written and staged to appeal to 10-year-olds. It was called The A-Team. Anybody remember The A-Team? I mean, it is besides, you know, Rocky movies, it's what made Mr. T famous. And so you had the A-Team, and it was, of course, about this group of ex-military that had some sort of caper thing going on. But the thing, and I never really watched it much. I don't think I was allowed to watch it much, but I don't remember watching it much. But there's a phrase that has entered the vocabulary of American culture. I just love it. What? When a plan comes together. Because that was what the leader of the group said at the end of every show. I just love it when a plan comes together. And one of the reasons that that is so repeated so often is because it appeals to people. The idea of having a plan and working out your plan no matter what everybody else is doing. By the way, it was one of those shows that had a lot of explosions and shooting and stuff like that, but nobody ever got hurt. I watched not long ago one of the old episodes of The Lone Ranger. Some of you might even be old enough to remember The Lone Ranger. Did you know one of the ideas in The Lone Ranger was he never shot to kill, just to injure? He would be in court from one end of the year to the next end of the year if he did. Anyway, that's a different story. We love it when a plan comes together. See, we really love it when we have our plans and we set things out. Now there might be some of you, I mean, you are really a let's just play it by the seat of our pants kind of thing, you know? Just imagine, you're going to go on a vacation. And your spouse comes to you, whether it's husband or wife, your spouse comes to you and says, listen, we're going to go to Hawaii. Well, what are we going to do when we go to Hawaii? I don't know. We'll just figure it out when we get there. Now, for some of you, you would say, cool. And for some of you, that idea is absolutely terrifying. I mean, when you go on vacation, you want to have everything planned out. When you're getting up, where you're going, what you're accomplishing on this day, what you're accomplishing on the next day. You want to have, I mean, you are about the details. You are about the plans. You aren't going to enjoy it unless you know what's coming. And everybody's smiling because you know exactly who you are. But it isn't just vacation. Some of you have laid out your lives this way. I mean, when you were a certain age, you knew exactly what you were going to do and where you were going to go, at what particular stage you would be doing certain things in life. You had it figured out. But in almost all the cases, it didn't work out that way. I had a pastor friend of mine told a story about a young lady who grew up in his church. Pretty young lady, very talented as far as speech and communications and that type of thing. And she had decided from the time that she was a little girl that she wanted to be a news broadcaster in the local news. That's what she had decided she wanted to do. Planned everything, gone to college, planned to do everything. And there came a point not long after she had graduated from school because, you know, if you're going to get into that field, you have to get into it pretty young. I don't know if you looked at the local news, but most of the people on there, aren't old enough to understand the news that they're reporting. It became very clear that it wasn't going to happen. And she became very much convinced that it was the church, the school, the parents, that, you know, all of those things. And he said there was one night after church, he found her, after everybody had left, sitting in the center aisle, weeping uncontrollably, because her plan for her life and her hopes and dreams had been dashed. You say, that's horrible. Somebody can't, you know, adjust. You understand? Okay, guys, this is kind of what midlife crisis is. You know, I mean, this is it. Midlife crisis is you've had certain plans. You're going to rise to a certain place in business. You're going to be a certain place in your career. You're going to have a certain health or physical, be in a certain type of physical shape, and you kind of hit that point in your life where you realize it's probably not going to get much better from here. And it's the struggle of readjusting hopes and dreams.
Making adjustments is a common occurrence in life for all of us, no matter what season of life we're in. You're listening to Dare to Stand, a radio outreach of Northwest Valley Baptist Church, as we continue a study in the book of Acts and hear a message from Dr. Shaw today titled, When God Changes Your Plans. Visit daretostand.org to find out more about ministries going on at Northwest, like a discipleship ministry for people who struggle with addiction issues called Freedom That Lasts. Here's Dr. Shaw to tell us a little about this life-changing recovery program at his church.
Hello, this is Kevin Shaw. Are you or someone you know dealing with the agony of an addiction? You cannot change what you do until you let God change who you are. Freedom That Lasts is a discipleship ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church that applies the life-transforming principles of the gospel and Christian growth to the problems of life-dominating sins and addictions. All of this happens in an atmosphere of love and accountability. If you would like to know more information about this important ministry, give us a call at 623-581-3115 or visit our website at daretostand.org. Go to the homepage and click the Discipleship Connections button.
Thanks, Dr. Shaw. And now let's get back to our study in the book of Acts as Dr. Shaw talks more about how God changes our plans all the time. Here's our teacher.
When we're talking about in this particular passage of Scripture, we are going to be dealing with how is it when God, because it is God, when God changes your plans. And He does. The Apostle Paul went out on the second missionary journey, and the Apostle Paul had a plan. Now, here was the plan. It seemed to be that they already had a team function set up. There would be two people. You know, it was a team ministry, so you'd have two people involved in leadership in the ministry, and then you'd take someone else along as a helper. Now, when we saw this all last week at the end of Acts chapter 15, that Paul and Barnabas were having this discussion about who they're going to take because they were going to be the two. And Barnabas said, let's take John Mark. And Paul said, absolutely not. And then they had the conflict and they ended up dividing up. And Barnabas took Mark and Paul took Silas. Now, but Paul's plan was still, he had a certain way, he wanted to have the team set up. So he had Silas, but they didn't have the young man to come along with them. So they begin on their first missionary journey. And as they begin on their first missionary journey, they find themselves coming to the cities of Lystra and Derbe, the same cities where Paul had been stoned and left for dead on the first missionary journey. And it was there on that mission, it was there as they come to those cities that they find this young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy gets added as a very young man. Timothy gets added to the missionary team to fulfill the Mark role. He's the gopher. You know what the gopher means? Go for this, go for that, go do this, carry that. He's the young guy with the muscles that is, you know, going to do all of this stuff for them. And so they find Timothy, and now everything is working out just as he planned. Because I have a hunch, as we look here, that Paul is one of those plan it out, figure it out, everything has to work according to the plan type of thing. And he knew exactly where he was going to go. They talked with one another at the end of Acts chapter 15. We're going to go back to the churches back to the cities where we already preached the gospel and where people had trusted Christ, and we established those churches, and we're going to go back and we're going to take the message. Now, Paul was also one that existed under authority. The church in Jerusalem, under the leadership of James, had decreed how the Gentiles are going to be dealt with. Works is not part of salvation. They understood that completely. But what is it? How is it then? Believers who are Gentiles are supposed to live. And so they came to the conclusion at the end of Acts chapter 15 on how they're supposed to live. Basically, if you look at the conclusions there, they live according to the law of Jesus Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those two laws are going to be those things that are working out in the local church. There were four particular commands that were the outworking at this particular time of those particular laws. So they're going to these churches and they're reporting and everything is going on. So let's so they go through all of these things, but eventually Paul had a plan to go into the northern part of Asia Minor, and I'll show you that in a minute, but God changes his plan. So what are we supposed to do when God changes our plan? I want to deal with this whole subject of planning and God. Now, first of all, there are some people who would say, well, if God changes your plan, then you just should not have a plan. Just don't plan anything. Just go and let the Spirit lead you wherever the Spirit leads you as you go. And that is not how God works either. There is a sense in which planning is pleasing to God. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. Matthew chapter 25. In this parable of the talents, those who had done well, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. One of the things that is commended of the good stewards is that they have a plan. They work out the plan. There is a desire in order to be profitable. Planning shows that we have an interest in what God has for us to do. Planning shows a certain level of trying to submit to God's will ahead of time. Okay, Lord, where do you want me to go, and how do you want me to go, and what is it you want me to do? And so you lay those things out ahead of time. Planning shows initiative. It is not a matter of laziness. There is nothing wrong with having a plan. We are starting senior Bible class in our Christian school. And we just had my first class with the kids in the senior Bible class this past week. And we went around the table saying, where do you expect to be next year at this time? I understand having high school seniors is a bit disconcerting for parents. Sometimes it's disconcerting because you're not really sold on their plan. You know, next year this time, I think I'd like to be on vacation. Next year this time, you know, I think that new video game is going to be out, and I think I'll be playing that. Or, you know, next year this time, I think I'll be going to college, but I'm not sure what the major is. Or, you know, so sometimes you're disconcerted about the fact that there's a lack of plan, or you don't know what the plan would be, or you don't know if it's a good plan, or whatever. You're looking for a level of initiative. If you don't know where you're going, you'll typically get nowhere fast. And so I want you to understand that God wants you to make plans. God wants you to make plans that are submitted to his will. Planning shows wisdom. Well, planning means at times you count the cost. Have you ever met someone that they have big plans, but no sense about how to accomplish those plans? In other words, they have big ideas, but really no plans. There's a difference between an idea and a plan. An idea is something, wow, wouldn't it be cool if? The plan is, now, how do I get there? Is I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and this is why this particular thing is appropriate in this particular time in life. And so, there's a sense in which planning is pleasing to God. I mean, what is your plan? What is your plan for the next 5 or 10 years? What is your plan for the next 20 years or 30 years? What is your plan? Planning is pleasing to God. In fact, I would say not having a plan, at least for life, maybe not for vacation, is displeasing to God in most cases. When we see Paul here leaving there was a plan described at the end of Acts chapter 15, and then this plan put into place as they go into Acts chapter 16. Now, there were adjustments that they had to make along the way, but he knew exactly what he was going to do. So we have this planning that is pleasing to God. And here was his particular plan. Now, if you notice the map above and you just look, they started off from Antioch in Syria. And if you didn't know where Antioch in Syria is, now you do. It's at the northeastern corner of the Mediterranean Sea. They go over and follow along until they come to the area where they had been on their first missionary journey, Antioch and Pisidia, and then the cities of Lystra and Derbe. As he makes his way by land through what would be southern Turkey today, and when we use it in Bible terms, it's Asia Minor. And then, of course, the plan was to go north, and it was to go north into the area of that we would call Bithynia. Bithynia and Pontus, in fact, that area up in the north part, some of it was called Galatia. The churches of Galatia are in that northern part. It's a region that is in the northern part of Asia Minor.
Here's the Apostle Paul making plans to go here and there and preach the gospel, which surely pleased the Lord. Stay tuned. Dr. Shaw will say a few more words about making plans in a moment. You're listening to Dare to Stand, a radio ministry outreach of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona, where our teacher, Dr. Kevin Shaw, serves as senior pastor. Northwest Valley Baptist Church is located at 4030 West Yorkshire Drive in Glendale. That's just south of the 101 at 40th Avenue. Come visit our new worship center. Sunday worship service is at 9:30 a.m. Adult Bible studies and Sunday school for all ages are at 11 a.m., and Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. Child care is provided for all services. Wednesday evening activities include prayer meetings, children's and teens programs. Northwest Valley Baptist Church also offers a quality traditional Christian education for your children, grades K through 12, at Arrowhead Christian Academy, located right on the church property at 40th Avenue and Yorkshire Drive. For more details about the church, kids programs, this radio broadcast, or to register your kids for Arrowhead Christian Academy, please visit www.daretostand.org. or call 623-581-3115. Dare to Stand is a listener-supported radio ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church. If this teaching today is blessing you on the radio, we encourage you to consider giving back to this ministry by making a tax-deductible donation today, which will help to keep this radio program on the air. As our way of saying thank you for your donation of any amount, we would like to give you a free CD of Dr. Shaw's teaching. Please call Northwest Valley Baptist Church today, 623-581-3115. We would love to hear from you and serve you in any way. The number again, 623-581-3115. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague, inviting you to join us next time for more about making plans and God. And now here's Dr. Shaw with a closing thought about the Apostle Paul's plans. And we'll see you next time as we continue our study in the book of Acts, from disciples to apostles, right here on Dare to Stand.
Here's his plan. We're going to go up there and we're going to share the gospel. Now, is there anything in particularly sinful about his plan? Absolutely not. Is there anything selfish about his plan? Absolutely not. Was there a particular need for people to hear the gospel in that area of the world? Absolutely, there was a need for people to hear the gospel in that area of the world. Everything that Paul had decided, everything that he had planned, made sense. You say, well, the key to a good plan is that all the factors work and all the factors make sense. Yeah, that's true, except when God says no.